Good morning. We would love to have the children in the congregation be a part of the parade of palms during the first hymn. Church school teachers will be coming up the center aisle to collect the children for the parade. Now, will you please stand as you are able and join me in the Liturgy of the Palms. Let us pray. The Lord be with you. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to praise you, Almighty God, for the acts of love by which you have redeemed us through your Son, Jesus Christ. On this day, he entered the holy city of Jerusalem in triumph and was proclaimed as King of Kings by those who spread their garments and branches of palm along his way. Let these branches be for us signs of his victory, and grant that we who bear them in his name may ever hail him as our King and follow him in the way that leads to eternal life, who lives and reigns in glory with you and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Let us go forth in peace.
may be seated. Hosanna! Blessed is Jesus who comes in God's name. We stand at the gates of Jerusalem and wave our branches high. We are caught up in excitement of the parade. Jesus sits astride a donkey, a beast of burden bearing, a most precious gift. Friends, may joy fill your hearts this day as we shout our hosannas. Praise God for the wondrous ways in which our lives have been touched. Let us prepare our hearts to worship and celebrate this day. Let us confess our sin before God and in the presence of one another. Eternal God, in whom we live and move and have our being, whose face is hidden from us by our sin, and whose mercy we forget, cleanse us from all offenses, and deliver us from proud thoughts and vain desires, that humbly we may draw near to thee, confessing our faults, confiding in thy grace, and finding in thee our refuge and our strength. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Laying aside judgment, God offers us redemption. Setting aside anger, God embraces us with love. Letting go of grief, God pours living water upon us. This is the good news, my friends. God's steadfast love endures forever. Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is the one who brings us the kingdom of God. Let the church say, Amen. Please stand as you are able and join us in the singing of the hymn, Ride On in Majesty, hymn number 147 in your hymnal, hymn number 147.
Ride on, ride on in majesty. place at the center of Harvard Yard, where status, rank, title, all pretentiousness is to be suspended at the door. Because when we come in the house of the Lord, we understand that we are all siblings under the parenthood of an almighty God. Today is Palm Sunday. We are blessed to have as our preacher for the morning our very own, the Reverend Alana Copenhagen Sullivan, who is a valuable and vital member of this community. And we are excited to hear, thus saith the Lord, from her mouth and from her heart on this morning. We also have some other things going on. Today, immediately following the service, we will have our annual church school brunch. Many of you know, and for those of you who do not know, one of the things that we do as a community, the church school community, those parents in the community, we pick a book to read together every spring semester. We read that book and then we invite the author to come and join us to discuss the book. This semester, we have been reading Faithful Families, Creating Sacred Moments at Home. And this book is by Tracy Smith, and she is the pastor of the Northwood Presbyterian Church in San Antonio, Texas. And she will be joining us today, actually remotely. She's going to join us via Skype downstairs in the Student Oasis. But we want to make sure all of the church school families, please join us downstairs. And if you have not read, don't worry about it. We're announcing this today because this is such a powerful work. We hope that everybody in the community might get a copy and get their hands on it. We're entering Holy Week. We have several services this week. Please check your programs, including musical concerts, as well as Monday, Thursday service and Good Friday service here, and then culminating with our Easter celebration next Sunday morning. We will have two services next Sunday. Two services at 8 a.m. and at 11 a.m. And so we encourage you to pick one of those services, but this is what we typically say. For those of you who tend to come every Sunday, who you're normal, this is part of your spiritual diet, to be in the house of the Lord on Sunday morning. Why don't you come to the 8 o'clock service? Come to the 8 o'clock service. That's a way of us demonstrating our radical hospitality. Because you know what we do, and you know what we're going to do. We're going to have the same service at 8 that we're going to have at 11. But you're here today, and I can tell you, why don't you come to the 8 o'clock service? Because then we're going to show hospitality to our CME brothers and sisters. By CME, I'm not talking about the denomination Christian Methodist Episcopal. I'm talking about those who come to church on Christmas, Mother's Day, and Easter. For our CME brothers and sisters, who are going to pack into this place next Sunday at 11 a.m., let's leave room for them. Because we have standing room and beyond, and we've had to turn, people have turned away. We have never turned anybody away, but people have turned away because of the crowd. So we can alleviate some of that pressure at 11 if you come at 8 o'clock on next Sunday, all right? Same preacher, same wonderful university choir, same Holy Ghost, right here. At 8 a.m. Listen, how can we say that we love the Lord who we've never seen before, and then we forget to say that we love the one who we walk beside each and every day? I can't look upon your face and ignore God's love. It's you two that I must embrace. You're my sisters. You're my brother, man. And I love you with the love of God. Wherever you are this morning, we ask that you would stand and pass the peace of Christ. And for our young people, because we're going to have a Wes is going to preach a morning sermon for you, our young people, our church school members, you can begin making your way down the front of the altar this time while the Wes is going to pass the peace of Christ.
You may take your seat. Sorry, Professor Wall. You're going to have to... You're on your own here. Good morning, everyone. It's so good to see you. Today was a really special day in church. We had a parade, and that doesn't happen very often here. What was so special about today? It is Palm Sunday. Is that what you were going to say? That is absolutely right. Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. And on Palm Sunday, we remember that, when Jesus rode in on a donkey to the city of Jerusalem. And when he got there, the people were doing lots of things. Some people were praising Jesus by shouting, "Hosanna." Some people were thanking Jesus by waving their palms, kind of like we did this morning. And some people even offered Jesus their coats. They laid them down on the ground in front of him. And now these things that everyone did, when they praised Jesus, and when they thanked Jesus, and when they offered him their coats, these are ways of worshiping Jesus. And we worship Jesus every Sunday when we come here and gather together in church. Well, hey guys, can we not bump each other with our palms? Thank you. So when we worship Jesus, like those people in church, we come together and do it as a group. Now downstairs when we are in church school, we worship Jesus. And I wonder, what are some of the ways we worship Jesus together downstairs? Absolutely. Sometimes we say prayers together. Singing? Yes, we also sing together. Very good. What else do we do? This side of the steps is awfully quiet. What are some of the other things we do together? Yeah, we read the Bible. And just like the people in Jerusalem, we're praising Jesus and we're thanking Jesus. And, you know, we even offer things to Jesus when we collect our offering. Now, our worship together is very important. It's when we become closer to God and closer to each other. And because worship is so important, I thought we could help with the worship service up here this morning before we go downstairs for church school. Will you guys help me with something?
What?
Yeah. Okay, that's a good question. What? I thought it would be very nice if we helped to collect the offering. Can we do that? You have a question? Oh, you brought your offering with you. Awesome. I'm going to invite the ushers to come forward, and they're going to gather in the front. And what I would like us to do is follow the ushers as they go to all of the pews, and we'll wave our palms very gently, not hitting anyone. That way, we're reminding everyone that our worship together is important. Can we practice waving our palms before we go with the ushers? Yeah, that's very good. Okay, let's stand up together and we'll follow the ushers and wave our palms.
Bye. reading from the Book of Psalms, chapter 18, beginning at the first verse. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to God, the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we beseech you, O Lord. O Lord, we beseech you, give us success. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has given us light. Bind the festal procession with branches up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, and I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Here ends the lesson.
A reading from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 11, beginning at the first verse. When they were approaching Jerusalem, at Bethphage and Bethany, near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it,' and we'll send it back here immediately." They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing, untying the colt?" They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Here ends the lesson.
Gracious God and precious Lord, we come today singing Hosanna. Hosanna is our song of praise. It's our song of praise that declares that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You are the only one, O God, who can save us. Thus we come laying palm branches at your feet. We come laying the sign that in you we declare victory. Precious Lord, this day reminds us that true strength is not a parade of military might. True strength, O God, is not signified by the Caesars of toxic masculinity, hypersexuality, or plutocratic personalities. But instead, power comes in the name of peace, justice, and righteousness. True strength comes not riding on a golden chariot, but true strength comes as a beast of burden. For we celebrate a king in your son Jesus who did not need to be carried. For our king takes the pains, the problems, the perils, and the perplexity of the world and places them on his back. Your son carries our trials. Your son carried our travails with us and for us. So, O God, we come today in celebration, but we also come in trepidation. We enter this holy week in faith and we enter it in fear. We celebrate who we know you to be. For your Son Jesus reveals to us that you are, O God, a way maker. You're a burden bearer. You're a heavy load sharer. You're a friend to the friendless. You're a mother to the motherless. You are a father to the fatherless. You are our joy and our sorrow. And yes, Lord, you're our hope for tomorrow. But we also know, Lord, that we have some difficult days ahead. Injustice will raise its ugly head. Persecution right now is planning and plotting. Evil will infect the Garden of Gethsemane. And corruption is preparing a cross to execute truth and to murder beauty. So we pray that on this day, that our faith in you will overtake our fear of the weak. Free us from both the fear of death and liberate us from the fear of life. Free us, O God, from the fear of failure as well as from the fear of success. Free us from the scary evidence of our past that might make us afraid to face the future. Open our eyes, dear Lord. May we see that strength and faith lies not in warfare or more weapons. Our potential is not found in financial success, nor will we be saved by hoarding power and resources to ourselves. But our hope is built on nothing less than humility, serving one another, and sacrifice. We are inspired, O God. Just as young people from Ferguson, Missouri to Lakeland, Florida can turn a tide of a nation with little more than hope-filled tears and the sincerity of their conviction, may we use our faith, not our fear, but our faith to march for love, to march for peace, to persist for justice, and to march with the palms and prayers of a world where we won't have to study war and violence no more. This is our prayer, precious Lord. This is our plea. As we pray together, the words that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. King Jesus rides on a white horse.
Thank you. That was amazing. I'm often caught off guard by our transcendent choir, so thank you for that holy moment. Friends, will you join me in prayer? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and minds be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So the events recalled by today's gospel lesson is one that we hold on to dearly in the Christian tradition. The story of Jesus entering Jerusalem on a colt is a beloved and humble image. And for us, it ushers in the beginning of Holy Week. However, this is not a story to be underestimated. This is not merely a story about Jesus's humility and a call for peace. There's more going on here than first meets the eye. So don't be fooled that the procession we reenacted by parading around the sanctuary, singing and smiling at our cute children waving palms, is merely Christian kitsch. At the time of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, the city is packed with Jewish pilgrims and Roman soldiers. The atmosphere is pregnant with the potential for a political uprising. And up to this point, Jesus has been very deliberate to instruct his disciples not to spread any word about the great works that he has been performing. And yet it is under these anxious and turbulent circumstances that Jesus decides to enact a very public moment of his ministry. And perhaps his most brilliant act of political drama. There are only a few verses of this passage that actually recount Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. Instead, most of the story is preoccupied with all of the arrangements that he makes, with the instructions that he gives to the disciples. Jesus meticulously plans this procession. Theologian Ched Myers observes that Jesus carefully crafts a piece of street theater. And as a director, he takes creative license and deploys comedic irony to undermine the imperial forces at play, to underscore that his authority, his power, comes from another source. Jesus wants to connect his entrance to messianic prophecy. It harkens back to the ancient Israelite stories about the arrival of a heroic figure following a military victory. These stories of triumphant conquest would be familiar to the crowd welcoming Jesus and to Mark's contemporary audience. Now, the details vary with each story, but the narrative arc remains intact. And in key respects, it resembles a military parade. After the conquest, the victor enters into the city amid cheering throngs. He is joyously acclaimed, and then he performs a sacrificial ritual of thanksgiving at a religious shrine to thank God for all of the slaughtered thousands. So it's telling that Jesus begins his procession at the Mount of Olives, the exact location from which people expected the final battle for Jerusalem's liberation to begin. And yet from there, the contrasts become clear. Jesus enters the city not riding his own noble steed, but instead riding someone else's colt, a baby donkey. Probably not even big enough to prevent Jesus' feet from dragging on the ground. And so when it's time for our hero to head to the shrine for the sacrificial thanksgiving, he looks around at the place, inspects it, and seems to say, "Well, I guess it's getting late. The party's over. Let's pack it in, fellas." We are left with this unsatisfied feeling. Is this what the disciples and the crowd expected? Were they surprised? Are they disappointed? Are they in on Jesus' joke? Now, the crowd undoubtedly boasts some of the same sorts of outsiders that Jesus has kept company with throughout his journey. Sinners, the dispossessed, the sick and blind, women and orphans, foreigners and refugees. So when Jesus enters Jerusalem, these are the people who bestow him with all the trappings of a great military parade. The crowd spreads palms and cloaks before him as a symbol of honor. And they shout, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." The air is abuzz with laughter and elation and anticipation. Some in the crowd believe that Jesus' arrival marks the entrance of a new political era. Marcus Borg and John Dominic Crossan posit that this curious celebration does not happen in isolation, but rather functions as a counter-protest. Jesus is not juxtaposing his entrance with those of ancient Israelite history, but he is also mimicking an imperial procession led by Pontius Pilate, entering Jerusalem from the other side at the exact same time. Hosanna directly means save us. But here it also subversively means throw the rascals out. People are bringing great anticipation and expectation along with their palms and cloaks. Folks are looking for political salvation, specifically salvation from the Roman Empire. Jesus, however, does not fulfill their expectations by overthrowing the Roman government. This is not Jesus' mission. He is not that sort of Messiah. And so there's a dramatic turn in how people respond to Jesus. Within the week, their acclaim and praise turn into humiliation and mockery. The theologian Margaret Farley observes, just as we do not adequately understand the suffering of Jesus unless we see how it reaches through the centuries to the suffering of people today, we do not adequately understand the humiliation of Jesus and the truth of it, dignity within indignity, unless we witness it in the lives of those who are otherwise judged among the humiliated today. And friends, we know those who are humiliated in our midst. Sometimes we've been the humiliated ones. They are the people who we single out as different or unfit, the people with whom we share our suspicious stares and demeaning glances, those who we shame in the name of social order and etiquette, those who we abandoned and want out of sight, out of mind, those we stigmatize with our self-righteousness. And we like to believe that we are better than the judgmental ones, those people. We are better than the ones in the headlines, on Fox News, on Twitter. They are the ones that do the humiliation. No, not us. We here in Massachusetts, we here at Harvard, we protest. We protest for transformed economics, immigration, environment, foreign policy, and gun regulations. We are not susceptible to humiliating others. We're inclusive. We champion diversity. We are progressive in our politics. Now, I'm not saying that Jesus did not have strong beliefs, a strong sense of what is right and wrong, a strong sense of ethics. In fact, his beliefs took him to the cross and led to his death. And yet, he refused to be entangled in political partisanship or polarization. Forces of false judgment and suspicion, servile fear and violence, are indeed to be named for what they are, and they are to be resisted. But they cannot be resisted with more force and more might. Self-righteous resistance can come to resemble the patterns of evil that it seeks to overthrow. Farley goes on to say, through the death of Jesus, all death is overwhelmed. Through the humiliations of Jesus, all humiliations can be transformed. This is not because of the death or the humiliations, but because of the love that cannot be broken. Somehow we seem to always get wrong what is ultimately powerful. Jesus exerted a power that was not understood then and might not even be understood now. And the comedy that underlies this story is not for its own sake, but to lower our defenses long enough for us to recognize this truth. Jesus is not your routine liberator. He doesn't act the way he is supposed to. Judge him by ordinary conventions of what God's anointed one should be, and you will get him wrong every time. Amen.
Please stand as you are able to join in the singing of the hymn, Lift Up Your Heads, Ye Mighty Gates, hymn number 101 in your crimson hymnal, hymn number 101.
Thank you.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord give you peace. And the gathered people said, Amen.